Hello, everyone. We are back. Welcome to Ghost Stories with Angela. I am your host, Angela Johnson. I am coming to you live from this beautiful bedroom with my dog over there. I am in transition right now. So luckily, my friend let me use their room so I could have internet and get on and do the show with you guys. Hey, I'm very excited because we have a very special guest tonight. Like, I have been waiting for this guest, like holding on to this like gem that I've had for a very special episode. And I figure what better episode than the very last one of the year. This is our very last episode of 2020. I saw a couple of people leaving comments like, oh no, you're not doing the show again. No, we are doing the show again, just in 2021. So this is the last episode of the year. Tonight's drink of choice is a glass of wine. Maybe we'll take communion after to make sure nothing attaches to us or something. Cheers. Okay. Thank you all for joining. San Diego, Tacoma, hello, Canada. Thank you for joining us. Thank you guys so much. Tonight's going to be an amazing episode. Kisses to Bonzo. Yeah, he's freaking out right now. He hears barking and he's like, I need to be out there and see what's up. Like, he has like little man syndrome where he's like, well, I'll fight somebody. And you're like, will you though? You're like 5 inches tall. Okay, Colorado, thank you for joining us. Dallas, Kansas City, hey, Texas, Wisconsin, let's go. Tonight, very special guest. We're going to jump right in, you guys. Our guest tonight, this is how special our guest is. I'm not even taking callers tonight because I know we're going to go for a minute with our special guest because he just like has so much to share with us. Okay, you've seen my guest on the Today Show, Access Hollywood, the E! Network. If you live in the LA area, Power 106, BuzzFeed. This guy is all over the place. He's a psychic medium. Please welcome to the show, AJ Barrera. Hello, I can't hear you. Is that me or you? I can't hear you. Uh-oh. Can you guys hear him? This is technology, guys. I cannot hear you. Leave in the comments. Can you guys hear or see AJ? Nuh-uh, they're saying nuh-uh. Shoot, technical difficulties. Jiki, maybe take AJ out and bring him back in. See if that does something. Okay, I can't hear him. No, I cannot hear. No, we can't. No. Okay, we're going to try this again. I'll reintroduce him again. I'll redo it again. We'll give it one more shot. Ladies and gentlemen, AJ Barrera. Nope. All right. One more time. And AJ Barrera. Nope. I don't know what's happening. Okay, Jiki, bring him out in. I don't see him. Okay, listen, you guys, this new thing called technology, we don't quite understand it, but we're doing our best. Okay, is he a ghost? Maybe my guest is a ghost, because I do not see him and nobody can hear him. Maybe that's it. Maybe he really is a ghost. Maybe that's his whole thing. Okay, we're gonna try this again. Yes, we blame COVID, everything, COVID, ugh. Blaming COVID. Jiki, are you bringing him on one more time? Let's just start this off with a cheers, a good grateful cheers. I'm going to say something I'm grateful for, and then you all say something you're grateful for out loud, even though I can't hear you. We're just all saying something we're grateful for. I am grateful for my dog Bonzo, because he really is the best dog in the entire world. Okay, now you guys go. You say something you're grateful for. And then I'm giving you like 10 seconds and then we'll cheers to it. Okay. Hopefully, Jaquie will have AJ back up within those 10 seconds. Okay. I see you, AJ. But I don't hear you. Shoots. Oh my God. Nope, not working. Okay. Let me take my sip. I'm gonna call Jakeev. Let Here's Jakeev calling me. Hey, what's happening? Yeah, it's just me. Maybe text AJ and tell him to hang up and call back in. Okay, wait. All right, you guys. We're gonna figure out these technical difficulties. So I'm gonna go to the comment sections right now. If you guys have some kind of ghost story, tell me what's happening in your house, what happened in your childhood, and we'll do that until AJ gets on here. Oh, but you guys are telling me you're grateful. Thank you. Grateful for family. Yes. Grateful for God, family, health, home, and everyone. Great. Grateful for family. Everybody's grateful for family. That's good. I think if anything that 2020 has taught us this year is to love those that you have around you because life is fragile and nothing is promised for tomorrow. Seen black shadows as a child, like walking by, like a shadow walking by, you saw a demon but not a ghost. Okay, how do you know it was a demon and not a ghost? Saw a ghost when I was about 15. When my grandmother passed away. Wow, that went fast. I didn't even get to read it. Apologies, you guys, for the technical difficulties. I have no idea what's going on. Notice something. Look at me. I got up to turn around. Nothing was there. I see spirits. Ooh, that is interesting. I had a ghost turn my lamp on and off. Monica Scar. Technical difference. Sorry, I'm figuring this out from his computer. Okay. Went toe to toe with a demon? What? I don't ever want to do that. Hell no. Oh, somebody messaged me the other day on Instagram. Every now and then I'll go through like my DMs and I'll check and be like, okay, what does somebody say to me? Because I'll be getting thousands of DMs, right? And this one girl was like, click on this link. And this woman is doing a live seance on Facebook right now. And I was like, I don't want to be on no live seance. But knowing me, I clicked it just because I had to click it and see. So I was like, let me just see. I click it. Turns out, screen pops up. Sure enough, it's a seance. There's candles. It's dark. And I was like, oh, hell no. I exit out real quick. I was like, no, I'm trying to be no seance. Okay. I don't know what you guys be summoning. I don't know if it comes through a screen. Try jump on me. Hail to the nah. I hear footsteps through my house. I've seen ghosts since I was a kid. A couple nights ago, I was at work overnight. I was looking out the window, second floor, and I see reflection of an old man standing behind me. When I look back, there was nobody there. I actually had something similar like that. Young, I was at my aunt's house. And there was like a little Barker lounge chair close to the TV, and you would play Nintendo with the cord attached to it, right? Old school Nintendo. And then behind me was the couch. Well, I'm playing Nintendo, and on the TV screen in the reflection, I can see a man sitting on the couch. But I'm home alone at my aunt's house. So I turn around, and there's nobody there on the couch. But I saw the reflection of a man sitting on the couch behind me. Dang, and that's no lie. Woke up in the middle of the night, my body was paralyzed. Ooh, I have had sleep paralysis many times. I told a story on our last episode of one of my craziest sleep paralysis episodes. I've had it many times. I've had it one time where I was staying at my husband's family's house and I got sick. I got a fever. I don't know what was happening, but I got a fever. This is before COVID, so I didn't have no COVID. Okay. I'm in the daughter's room laying down. And as I'm laying there, I start sleep. Oh, are you back? AJ?
Can you hear me?
He's back. I hear you. Can you hear me? No, you can't hear me. What the heck? And now it's freezing again. Oh no.
So you know it shows my tensions like on and off here on.
So it's your internet?
I don't know. I see like the wires going like the bars going on and off like they're going red and then going green and then going red, going green.
Bruh, is this like a spirit trying to mess with our connection?
So what if you can give me about 2 minutes, let me
Okay.
do a hardwire real quick. So I'm gonna leave here or
Okay.
have her take me off right
Okay.
now, okay?
Jiggy, take AJ off. I'll finish my story about my sleep paralysis. We'll figure out if there's a spirit already trying to jump in the mix over here. Okay. Anyways, so I am at the house, sleeping in the daughter's bed, have a fever. All of a sudden, I feel the sleep paralysis come on. Sleep paralysis is when you're sleeping, but you're awake, but you can't really get up. You can't really wake up. It's like you're right at the cusp of waking up and you can't move. You can't scream, you can't do anything. So I'm laying there, frozen. I can't move. I see this like demon creature, but it was almost like a cartoon version of a demon creature. And it went like right to my face as I was trying to open my eyes. And as soon as I got right to my face, my eyes finally opened. Hell no. Sleep paralysis, cartoon demons be trying to get me. That was one of my sleep paralysis stories. And then last episode, I shared the sleep paralysis story of when I was staying in a hotel in a small town in Pennsylvania, and I heard that this hotel was haunted. So when I checked in at the front desk, I asked the guy at the front desk, I was like, hey, so what are the haunted stories here? And then he reaches under the little desk and he hands me a pamphlet with all of the haunted info. And I was like, okay, good. And turns out the room that was haunted was like 8:30 and I was staying in room 7:30. Like whatever it was, I was either like right above it or right below it. I forget which one. But I was like, oh shoot. Anyways, so that night I'm on YouTube and I'm looking up things like, has anybody ever like seen a ghost in this hotel? Like maybe I'll find a YouTube video of it. And I found like a couple of videos of people trying to like connect with a spirit, trying to be like, hey, is there a spirit here? Talk to me. But nothing happened. So I was like, okay, whatever. Anyways, I go to sleep that night. Sleep paralysis hits again. I'm like half asleep, half awake. I can see this like bellhop guy, but from like the early 1900s bellhop, wearing the full-on outfit and the hat. And he walks into the room, stands over the bed, and then starts like doing this to me and my husband as we're laying there. And I'm like asleep trying to like wake up, but I can't like wake up. And finally, like I force myself awake and he's gone. Sleep paralysis is no joke. We did a whole episode with Angie V. It's on my YouTube channel. If you haven't seen it yet, check out my YouTube channel. She talked about her crazy sleep paralysis stories. They are no joke. Myrtle's Plantation. What is that? Are you back? AJ.
All right, can you hear me?
I can hear you. Your face is frozen, but I can hear you.
See what I mean? I don't know what's going on.
This is nutsos because for those of you watching right now, we did a sound check before where we were talking to each other just fine. Nothing was going on. Nothing was wrong. And then all of a sudden, all this craziness. But I see you. You're moving now and talking now. So maybe let's just jump right into it.
All right. So if you guys can hear me and if I'm moving, I think we're good.
I think. Leave us a comment, you guys. Can you see and hear AJ? Can you see? It says it's better now.
All right.
Bucena Carter says it's better now. Let's do it. We see him. All right. Okay. We're going to jump in before one of these spirits try to play more tricks on us, because spirits got tricks today, apparently. So I have so many questions to ask you just to like teach us about what you do. So first out the gate, can you tell us what is the difference between a psychic, a medium, a mind reader, a animal communicator, all like what is the difference between what you do and what everybody else does?
Absolutely. So there's a big difference between a psychic and a medium. Most people think that, you know, we're all the same and we all do the same work. So as a psychic, you know, we individuals work with crystals, tarot cards, other tools to maybe predict the future, cleansings. They'll use maybe ceremonial stuff like shamans, and they'll use Palo Santo and sage and all that stuff. And as a medium, they kind of have one foot in the physical world, one foot on the other side, which they bridge that connection as a medium. So they're able to raise their vibration and spirit lowers down theirs, and there's that connection. Now we look into like animal communicators, and they're very good at what they do. And, you know, I was very kind of skeptical about the process, like, oh, there's no way people can even talk to the dead. There's no way people can communicate with the animals, because I wasn't a big believer in psychics and mediums. I kind of went on this journey to figure out, like, you know, they're a bunch of BS and they're charlatans and et cetera, et cetera. And then I realized that, you know, we all have this intuitive ability. We may not all be psychics or mediums, but we all have a gut feeling. We're all clairsentience. We're all an empath. We all, they're just different levels of our labels, but some of us call it sensitive. So it just really depends. But as a medium, my job is really to bring through the evidence and validation to know that this is your loved one coming through in a reading. And then when I do the psychic work, it's about like career, life, relationships, all that good stuff. So there's a completely different type of energy. But my work started as a medium. And then later throughout the years, I started doing a lot of the psychic work, which is a lot of people started sitting with me and business consulting and all that stuff to assist them in the process. But I do both. And some people are spiritual mediums where they actually go to the spiritual church and they learn and they develop that way. And so there's all different types of mediums that are out there and intuitives.
So you started as a medium. So you started with like hearing and seeing spirits first.
Yeah, you know, kind of. So
tell us how you started and realized you had the gift.
Yeah, so little backstory with that. I grew up watching television shows like Sally, Jesse, Raphael, Jenny Jones, Ricky Lake, Maury.
Yes. They had
Montel. They had psychics and mediums on their TV shows, and they told them what, they connect people with loved ones, and they, you know, connect them with the intuitive advice and all that good stuff. So for me, I was like, what a crock of BS. There's no way people out there are telling people or giving them the advice, and they're all planted in the audience and they tell them what to say. It's all pre-recorded, pre-taped. And so I kind of went on my own spiritual journey where I actually started working with a deck of tarot cards. And I started working from my sixth grade to eighth grade of starting telling people what I saw, what I felt in my junior high school. I did not really see, feel, or hear spirit growing up. Mine was just more so curiosity than anything else. That kind of opened up the door, because I really came from a religious background. You know, we grew up in a Catholic family, and my grandparents, and so it was ingrained with us. And so with me, I kind of questioned everything. I was like a sponge. I wanted to know everything. I wanted to know more about the work, spirituality, and religion. And, you know, it was kind of like taboo, but for me, it was really trying to understand what I was doing, what I was sensing. So I think my first experience where I may have saw a spirit or an energy was actually my great grandfather on my mom's side of the family, where I actually saw him in my bedroom. And this was like maybe when I was in sixth grade, probably my first experience. And I think that's 12, 13, if I'm not mistaken. But that was my first experience. And, you know, I did not meet my grandfather. My great grandfather did not know what he looked like. So at the time I had no idea. It scared the crap out of me. I saw this, you know, taller, you know, Caucasian, you know, guy that was at the end of the bed, and he had no arms. And so I'm like, what the hell? Like, what's the process? And I told my mom about it. And my mom was like, that's my grandfather. He was a W amputee. He did not have any arms, and I did not know that. So my mom was going through the photos, took me to my grandma's house, and I was like, yeah, that's him. And so for me, it was validation. Even for my mom, who was very religious, was like, yeah, like, you know, maybe it's a devil, maybe it's a demon, maybe it's like someone trying to like possess you at the time, because it wasn't known back then. It wasn't like, you know, it wasn't something that was talked about or discussed, you know, spirituality, mediums, intuition, connecting with the side. And being Hispanic, we embrace, you know, honor our loved ones, you know, Day of the Dead, and we do this, and All Saints mm-hmm. Day. So it's part of the family, but I think it's or part of our culture. But I think sometimes people are fearful of the unknown, for sure.
I think it's fear of the unknown and also just religion. Like, I love that you mentioned you came from the Catholic background and your family is Catholic, because I know coming from religious background, I've always been taught psychics bad, don't even like get involved, don't even ask questions, just stay away from it all. And so I feel like my whole like Christian life, I've always been fascinated with the spirit realm and with haunted things and ghosts and stuff like that. And I've just been told it's bad, just it's bad. And then when you're just told it's bad and you don't get to gain wisdom and knowledge and ask questions, then you're just like stuck in this little bubble. So I feel like I'm at this place in my life where I'm so curious and I am asking questions. And so tell me a little bit about like coming out of like Catholic, and I know there's people who are like, oh, it's taboo, it's bad. Like, what are your thoughts on that?
You know, like I'm so open to the work in every belief and religion. So, you know, I simply tell people what I do is a belief. You know, either you believe in it or not. Like, I'm not shoving my belief or my religion down anyone's throat. And if you choose to, you know, feed into that energy and you practice it and you teach and you learn about it, then that's okay. But I don't like tell anyone like, you have to believe me. I'm not here to prove anything to anyone. I know right. My job is to bring through evidence. So I always tell people, if you look into like spirituality and religion, they all have a similarity of blending beautifully together if we just understand them. So if it's like, you know, the book of, you know, the Torah, you know, we look into Christianity, we look into Catholicism, we have seers and prophets and all that stuff. So we have the New Testament, the Old Testament. So in some ways, you know, religion, you know, says it's like, it's not the greatest thing to do. So you have to kind of think about it, because like my family were kind of like, did not want to talk about it, did not want to tell people what I was doing at all. And events, it was like really like a bad situation. So the thing with both my parents, they embraced it. They allowed me to kind of go through this spiritual journey and figure out what I was going through, because I really believe that they thought it was a phase I was going through. It's like, oh, it's a phase. He's going through high school. He's going through this weird moment. And, you know, I was a weird kid. Like, you know, the tree was my best friend and the wind was my best friend. You know what I mean? So I did not have a lot of friends. I wasn't a popular kid at all whatsoever. I probably freaked more people out than anything else, or two people out. Yeah, like, let's not hang out with him. So for me, I think the fact that I allowed myself to kind of figure this out and go on my journey today, I just want people to be open and receptive, and be open and receptive even to the unknown, because we have to understand and think about this. Like, there's more galaxies, there's more things that are out there than just the physical being. So if we think about maybe perhaps aliens or UFOs or other dimensions that are out there, we have to coexist with different energies. And same thing with the practicing Catholics. They believe in saints and the Virgin Mary and praying to that. And some religions just focus on God and Jesus. Like, it's just merely that. So I don't want to discourage anyone, nor do I want anyone to feel like this is something that they have to believe, but just be open to it.
You bring up a good point about like the saints and all of that. Can you explain to us what is the difference between a spirit, a ghost, an entity, a poltergeist, like all of these words that we've heard on like haunted shows or scary movies, but like what actually is the difference between that, like between all those things?
Yeah, that's a great question. And people think they're basically all the same, or what's the parallels or what's the similarity. So for a ghost, we can consider them as earthbound, you know, people that actually had a physical incarnation. They were stuck here. So it becomes a more of a movie reel for them, where they replay the same place over and over again. So earthbound and ghosts are basically go hand in hand. And what happens is that typically when we have earthbounds or ghosts, it's because they died tragically, or there's something that they're absorbed to, meaning the environment, the energy, the home, the business, the ground. So sometimes when people move into a home, that house could have built upon, say, an old cemetery, an old gravesite or something, and they have high energy that happens here. So that energy will replay its place. So sometimes it will knock into walls, or you'll see apparitions or see ghosts, per se, that are there. Mm-hmm. Think like, oh, it's my loved one, or maybe it's this, and they feel like that it might harm them, or they're there to harm. we have to kind of consider like some of these popular places, like say Gettysburg, you know, where all the soldiers are in the war and you actually see them at night and you capture EVPs or you capture men that are there, or you actually hear cannons that are there. I remember when I went out there several years ago, this is like maybe 15 years ago, maybe longer. I was doing an event and we went to Gettysburg and I was out there and actually took my recorders and I was able to actually capture cannons being like shot off, like boom, boom.
No
like,
way.
Yeah. And so when spirit does that, they leave this energy, residual energy behind. Now for spirits, they're actually our loved ones. They truly are loved ones. They're not our guardian angels. And I'm sad to say it, and people might get mad at me to say it. Your loved ones are not your guardian angels. They're not your angels, but they do look out for you. They do watch over us. They do give us guidance. And I would never want my mom to be my spirit guide or my guardian angel. The reason why, because they need a lot of years to evolve and grow, but I do believe they can look out for us and protect us in those moments. So spirits are more intelligent. They can manipulate things, or they can give us a certain sense of a smell. So if they love a favorite perfume or love baking bread, we would smell those things. Or if they were very mischievous and all that good stuff, they keep the personality as a spirit. As a ghost, it becomes a movie. They replay the same thing over and over again. And that's kind of the difference between them. Now, poltergeist, that is more of the loose way I want to say this is an entity. More of, I would say, of a higher level of energy where they actually will manipulate energy. So they will slam doors, move things, provoke energy. They will kind of provoke you to kind of do certain things. So if you feel like that, oh my God, it might be the devil, it might be a demon. It's just energy that's maybe stuck in that form. We'll talk about it in the episode here today is that a poltergeist activity was something that happened in one of the episodes when I was feeling. And typically they say poltergeist will actually, you know, show three marks, three scars, or three knocks. So anytime you hear three knocks in a home, in a location, typically that's poltergeist activity.
So poltergeist is not a demon?
It's considered that way, loosely. The reason why I'm saying that, because there's something evil that's attached to it. There's something that's connected to it. And I've experienced poltergeist activity. And for me, I've never had the sense of fear, I'm going to get hurt or there's something bad that's going to happen to me. It's more so shock than anything else when it does happen or I do see it or do experience something. It's kind of like, holy crap, like, did that just happen? And, you know, some of my reactions that I've experienced over the years, it's these energies that are trying to, you know, protect their environment, protect what they have. And they want to either push you out of the home, out of the business, because they feel like that's their land, their place of being. So when they do that, I always tell people, you know, bring in a priest, bring in holy water, go to religion, do meditation, do prayer, you know, bring a medium in, someone who's a sensitive that can look into things, because you don't always want to immediately go to a psychic or a medium. Like, I believe in faith, I believe in God, so I always go to religion first before anything else. So those who are not big believers in mediums, always go to prayer, go to God and pray and just say, you know what, I want this removed, I want this energy away, and also protect areas. Like, what I've noticed in homes, especially homes that I've investigated over the years, where people think that they're having paranormal activity, and it's usually it's kind of like rats in the ceiling, squirrels, bats, you know, the water heater going off, a furnace, you know what I mean? It's like all the normal things, because I go into places trying to debunk, you know, this work, because I'm an investigator. I document the other side. I document the paranormal. So I'm not always here to prove like, oh my God, this has to be spirit. Like, I'm always like, oh, that's someone's growling or that's someone burping. Yeah. You know what I mean? So when we listen to
there's good news and bad news here, okay? Good news, you don't have a ghost. Bad news, you got to call pest control. You got rats in this closet over here.
I probably can get pest control a lot of business for sure, you know?
Yeah.
You're like, oh, yeah. No, but it's an honest thing. And what I tell people, like, when they are experiencing truly paranormal activity, if you have a lot of mirrors, bless the mirrors, sage the mirrors, do holy water around them, because that can be an entry, like a portal, like a door opening where they come in and out. So when people have a lot of mirrors and they experience high anxiety, high energy, it's because you have mirrors. So if you're attracted to mirrors and you have high anxiety, you have a lot of different things, there might be an opening per se loosely of energy coming in and out, not negativity, not evil, but more so of energy in general.
Why is that with mirrors? Why?
You know what? I feel like it's like a reflection of the soul. So we go deeper. We're looking down into that. So it's another layer that we look into. I feel like that, you know, the soul and spirit, you know, they go hand in hand, interchangeable, you know, they can go spirit and soul. But the soul is basically having a physical, you know, a physical life that's here. A spirit is when we transition and we go. So that soul is reading into something or looking into something. And that spirit is actually tuning into that vibration. So we have to think when we're kind of like doing our normal things in life, if we're, you know, you're doing your makeup or you're doing XYZ, I feel like in some ways, just recognize that, you know, you're actually maybe tapping into something higher. You might be tapping into something inspirational. So if you're doing your makeup, you're like, oh my God, like I got this great idea to do this or got this great idea to do that. I always tell people just pay attention to, you know, your thoughts and your energies that are happening in those moments.
No way. That is so cool. Now I'm trying to think of like, do I ever get ideas while I'm doing my makeup? Because I do get in my head while I'm doing makeup and stuff. Because sometimes I have music playing when I do my makeup. Sometimes I'm just quiet and I'm doing my makeup. Every now and then I'll put like a TV show on my phone and I'll just put it there while I'm like watching TV while I'm doing it. But right. I'm going to start paying attention to when I do my makeup in the mirror and be like, I just came up with a $1 million idea. And wonder.
You know, it's so common for people to use, you know, objects to kind of build their vibration and build the positivity. So if it's through exercise, meditation, prayer, all these different things, I always tell people just pay attention to the things that are happening around you in that very moment, because spirit might be working with you or trying to connect with you in a completely different way.
Well, that's so good. That is awesome. Okay. So we talked about ghost, spirit, and poltergeist. Did you go deep into demon? Like how?
Yes. So, I don't know if it's on my end, but I think you're actually been frozen on my end for a while. So I don't know if it's just connection. Yeah, which is weird. But I can hear you perfectly fine.
Am I frozen to you guys in the comment section? Am I frozen? Let me know if I am.
Because it could just be, because you sound clear as day.
So
with the connection itself, I think with demons, I think we have to be aware like what we're, you know, what we're calling upon or what we're into. So if you're trying to focus on connecting with, you know, your loved ones, you're calling upon positive light, positive energy. If you're messing with the Ouija board, if you're messing with negativity or you're provoking spirit, you're attracting this energy, you're gonna attract that negativity in some sense. So always recommend people, like when we deal with like demonic energy or you know, poltergeist activity, it's something that we need to ground ourselves going into any place, any event. And I always tell people when we deal with demon energy or deal with the poltergeist activity, it's something we need to really be focused. We need to kind of compose ourselves, gather ourselves and regroup and really say like, okay, this is not going to be something that's going to harm me. This is not anything that's going to do any bad to me, because you're in control. Because we have to understand, any work that I do when I do investigations, I know I'm in control. I know it comes from white light. I know I'm doing it with good intention. And that's all that matters. And I think the, you know, your viewers or guests or the people that are watching the replay, that you have to kind of like ground yourself and protect yourself and do prayer, holy water, whatever you need to do. But, you know, I don't really deal with the demonic stuff because it's not something I associate with quite often, because I come from a place of light and good energy and making sure that I bring healing people and not scare the crap out of people, you know?
Yeah. Have you ever done a reading with someone and a real negative energy came through, or negative presence came through, where you're like, actually cancel, money back, I'm going home. I don't want to be a part of this reading anymore.
You know, yes and no. So there was a situation that happened many, many years ago. When I was starting out doing my readings, I think I was like doing it professionally at 19 and a half, about 19 and a half, 20 years old. And I had a person come to the house and they sat there as a man. And the person, I just immediately felt bad vibes, and bad vibes are never good for me, for anyone, like that sense of
something. They came to your house?
Yeah, because I was doing private readings. I was like 19 and a half. I did not even, like, I was doing radio at the time. I was on Coast 23.5, K-Big at the time. Like, I didn't have a website. I think I barely had a website because it wasn't something that I wanted to do. It was just kind of like, oh, this is where I'm at. So they came to the house for a reading, and I ended up doing a reading for this guy. Well, the energy that was sensing was, he ended up, loosely saying this, ended up killing someone. And basically that person that was killed was coming through in the reading. The guy freaked out, like within 15 minutes of the reading, left the money on the table and walked out. I ended up getting security cameras and everything after that because it scared the crap out of me. But that's kind of like a really bad experience that I did have back then.
No.
Yeah. So when we think of the living, like this is a normal thing. And I think it goes for a lot of us. Again, we're all sensitive. We're all intuitive. We may not all be psychics or mediums, but we all feel things and sense things. So if you ever gone to a party, you know, for any of those who are watching and tuning in, that, you know, you see a table to the right, you see the table left. You have no idea of those people that are sitting at the table, but for some reason you feel pulled to the right. It's energy that you're sensing. It's energy that you're attracting. So it's energy that you're tapping into. Maybe the table to the left is negative. Maybe it's bad juju. Maybe they're carrying something personal in their life. So I sense a lot of that with people when I sit with them in person or just randomly seeing people. But I have to ground myself and protect myself before doing that because I really don't like going out in public spaces. But I love doing my shows and doing my events and doing all that stuff. So I really have to be grounded and be in the right state of mind and put myself in that chi basically to get there because grocery shopping, I don't like doing, going to the mall. My wife knows I hate going to the mall. Like I do not want to walk in the mall. Hospitals, grave sites are kind of like a park for me, to be quite honest. I can have lunch in a park or sit there and hang out, but you would think that would attract more energy. But I think because it comes from a place of peace of mind, and also a lot of feeling that people invest in that time and energy of prayers and laughter and celebration at cemeteries. So when people think of cemeteries as spooky, they're not really that spooky.
The mall is spookier than the cemetery, right. You guys. That is crazy. You're so right when you say, like, we all are intuitive and maybe we're not psychic. Or like, I don't think I'm psychic or a medium, but I definitely am intuitive. And like there's times where I will feel in my spirit, I need to call so-and-so and tell them, hey, you're doing a good job. And then I call them and they're just like in tears, like, oh my God, I needed to hear that. Thank you so much. Like there's so many times where I've had moments like that, or even like how you said, like being at a restaurant and I feel in my spirit, I need to pay for that table over there. I need to pay for their dinner. And it wasn't this table, that table, or this table. It was this table right here. I need to pay for their dinner. I don't know why, but I need to pay for their dinner.
You know, I think because you're so sensitive and yourself energetically, you know, you vibrate. I've always wanted fixing people. You want to help people. You want to make things right. So I think for you, you do come from a grounded place and you're a very positive person. My wife and I, we will do that. We can go to a restaurant or, you know, in a drive-thru somewhere, or we'll pay for the car behind us or whatever, or two cars back. Like we randomly do these things because I think it's a random act of kindness. And I don't think either one of us are looking for thank you or looking for this. It's just something that we need to do. And I think if we have more humanity, more of this energy put involved into the world, it would be a better place.
For sure. Can you tell, now we had talked before, something that fascinated me so much because two of my favorite things that I love are like ghost paranormal things and crime shows.
Yeah, yes.
So now, have you ever been watching like a crime documentary, like a cold case, unsolved mysteries, and like hear or see things where you're like, oh yeah, the husband did it. It was the sister-in-law is the one who killed her. Like, have you ever heard or seen anything?
Absolutely, many times. It didn't happen in the beginning, but most of the time it would, I guess more so than ever, when I started doing a lot of missing persons, homicides, when I started working with law enforcement, private investigators, things of that nature, I started becoming more in tune to that. But honestly, you know, being a spiritual person, I'm a huge crime buff, like from Dateline, Nightline, you know, 48 Hours, like you name it, I watch all these shows, Forensic Files. So it helped me understand the work. And for me, I really believe that when I'm watching these shows, sometimes there's kind of like that little intuition, that little moment of like, oh, like the person might be buried, or the person might be here, or this person's involved. We were just watching, my wife and I were just watching a special, I forgot what show it was the other day, and I already told her, like, this is what happened, this is what the situation was, blah, blah, and sure enough, like, everything happened the way it was. So I think it's just, again, unknowing, but more so, I think because I've been involved with the work for quite some time, you know, I love helping out families, and I do a lot of stuff with, you know, investigators or active or retired law enforcement or investigators and detectives. I do that pro bono.
Natasha yeah. Betty one says, did Carol Baskin kill her husband? Did Carol Baskin kill her husband, AJ? Tell us the truth. Everybody wants to know. Netflix part two. Did Carol Baskin do it?
I have a strong intuition, yes. I really have like a strong feeling as if there's more to the story. And I don't know if it was her personally doing it, but I feel like there's actually a strong energy with that, because once I watched that documentary, I was just like, yeah, it did resonate with me. So I feel like there's going to be actually be more things that will come up with this, because I honestly have not followed anything with the case or the movie or the documentary after that. But I really believe there's going to be more evidence that are going to come up here regarding her husband or the ex-husband about maybe a possible grave or possible bones. But I wouldn't be surprised, because I don't think it's just her feeding them to the tigers or doing it in that nature. And, you know, I say allegedly she fed them to the tigers, but I thought there's going to be more coming up with this. I honestly believe that, because I thought there's going to be a lot of armchair detectives that are going to want to solve this case.
Armchair detectives. Like, Don't F with Cats. Did you see that documentary?
No. You know, I think my wife and I, we tried to watch it, and you know, maybe we did, but I heard it wasn't good at all.
Like, no, it's fantastic. Oh my God.
Okay.
But talk about armchair detectives. That's what these people were, is they saw this video of a guy torturing and killing a cat. That's and okay. They yeah. find out who he is. They do this investigative work, and he ends up killing humans after, like, the cat was the beginning of his craziness, ends up killing humans. But anyways, the armchair detectives are the one who solved the case. They're the ones who told the police it was this guy.
Oh, absolutely. You would not believe, Angela, you know, and I need to be very clear with this, like, you know, when a lot of these cases go cold, it's not because the detectives, you know, are just ran out of leads. It's not because they don't want to work on the case. There's a number of cases that they get maybe daily of homicide, missing persons. And the reason why they go cold is because there's not enough man hours that are out there where they can work on them. And so I always stress to families when they come to me, I go, if the detective reaches out to me, or retired or active, small department, big department, I'm willing to work pro bono on the case, but you know, like, I really can't do anything else except to assist you from here. And then if you want to give them the audio, if they want to meet with me, that goes from there. But I really believe that we have to understand psychics and mediums do not solve cases. We're only a tool. We're kind of right. like just like, I'm kind of like a canine dog. You know, I kind of snip out the information, and they have to actually get the search warrant to actually go get it, or they have to find out ways to actually find probable cause to do it. Because basically I would just be a CI, a citizen informant, and I wouldn't really be assisting the process. I could actually hinder the investigation. So I'm big in the crime stuff, but I love helping family. But again, there's been many experiences, especially when I watch these shows. There's always a feeling of like, oh my God, I'm more so hurting for the family, because it's been like 11 years, 15 years, and finally they caught this person. So it seems much quicker, obviously, on television, but you know, I hurt for the families, because like there's so many people out there that have killed people, multiple people, and they're walking free. And then there's a lot of people in jail that are innocently convicted. So, you know, so there's a lot of, you know, it's a yin and the yang of thing, kind of like with things in life. But shows, TV shows, like I said, yeah, absolutely. That's kind of like a main thing. Game shows. You can't take me to Vegas. I'm not good at Vegas. And you can't tell me to go blackjack or roulette. It's not what it's used for. It's not for the lottery. It's not for any of that stuff. So if you
unless know, the like, dealer hey, is a ghost,
I exactly. Or, you. No, a spirit.
Yeah, unless the dealer is a spirit, I won't help you. Let me let my dog out. 1 second.
Right. Right.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Yeah. Unless the dealer has transitioned, I will be of no help to you in Vegas.
Exactly. Oh my gosh. Oh my God. You would not believe like the common things that I get from, you know, even from radio personalities or shows. It's a common question, like, you know, if you're so psychic, why did you win the lottery numbers, or why any psychic hasn't won the lottery, or, you know, good at roulette or blackjack or all that stuff? Because it's not for our use. It's not for us to, you know, live off that and kind of like take that away, because I really believe there's more healing that needs to be done. And I think, you know, there's a sense of past life that we all have. We all have a past life. You know, we can have seven of them or six of them, and we only recall one or two of them. So it's kind of that incarnation that we have, that we have to learn the lessons. I remember many, many years ago that I started my journey as a psychic medium. Like, I realized, like, oh my God, like, this is what I'm going to do, because I wanted to be in law enforcement. I wanted to be a firefighter, and that did not happen. I kind of like took a completely different path. And I really believe spirit opened up that door. And for me, it was like really trying to understand where I stood in the process or where I was going with this. So I always tell people, like, when you're doing this work, just kind of be aware of your surroundings and where you're at in the situation. But I just lost my train of thought. Sorry, I read something, but I lost my train of thought. I have some
stuff. I'd be doing that too. I'd be like, oh, what did you say? Oh, I mean, hold on.
I just felt that. I'm so sorry.
No worries. Listen, I used to want to like ghost hunt and things like that. And so what I used to do is like, I would look up scary things in the area. I would go like drive to them, but I wouldn't actually like go inside. I would like drive. I would hear about a house that was haunted, right? There was a blog about this haunted house. And so I would drive to it and like drive around it. And just like driving by it was enough for me. And I was like, ooh, no, I'm not going inside. Like I was too scared to ever participate in any kind of ghost hunting thing. Too scared. And also, again, the religious background, like always afraid more so of like disappointing people. Like, oh, that's bad. You shouldn't do that. Even like ask questions, whatever. And psychics are bad, but prophets are good, whatever.
Right.
So, but
no, I agree with you on that 100%.
Yeah. It's ghost hunting. I love watching all the different shows. And like, I rarely ever like get scared to the point where I turn the show off and I'm walking through my house scared. Like that doesn't happen to me because I'm like interested and fascinated in it. If I do start getting actual scared, I'll change the channel and be like, oh no, there's like something too much about this one. Next episode, thank you. But for the most part, like I'll be by myself in my hotel room at home alone. And like we would have at my old house, we had all these like glass doors around and you could like see, and it wouldn't even scare me. I'd be like, oh no, fine. Like I'm whatever, you know? But I want to get into the story of you ghost hunting at, where was it? That hospital, the insane asylum,
Linda Vista Hospital in Boyle Heights. It's now actually a convalescent home now, which is great, no. Right? No, right?
How rude. They put the old people with the ghosts? That's rude.
Yeah. Linda Vista Hospital, those who know the LA area or downtown LA or East LA area, that hospital and those who are enthusiasts of actually watching ghost hunting shows and TV shows, that place has been investigated numerous times, and every investigation, documentary, TV show, news segment has always captured and documented some sort of spirit activity. And what's there at Linda Vista is a lot of residual energy that we captured and that we documented. And many of us have gone back there because the evidence are just amazing. And I remember one part when we were doing a walkthrough that the groundskeeper that was there, he would not want to go into the place by himself. And because obviously kids would break in and they want to investigate and do all that stuff. But there's times where you say like, he hears stuff in there and he knows no one broke in, no one got in there, and he would not go in there. So it's a job for itself. But the segment though, for sure, Linda Vista is actually probably one of the creepiest experiences that I've had there. And this is when I was filming my show From Beyond in 2011, 2012. It was with NBC Universal and it was on Mundos. It's actually now streaming on Canela TV. So you can watch on Apple TV, Fire Stick, all that other stuff. So do you want to go to that clip?
Yes. Okay.
Set up
what happened and then we'll go to the clip.
Okay. So this is episode 12, Linda Vista Hospital, where we're doing an investigation. We're towards the tail end and we're actually in room 323. It's known that the energy there is active. It scratches people. It pushes people. There's a lot of spirit activity that people hear. Things are knocked over. They hear pops and bangs. So I'm over here provoking and asking spirit, you know, come scratch me, come do this, come do that. Because honestly, and respectfully, we didn't document really much from Linda Vista. Like we were like, oh my God, like we were all hyped up for it. And this is the spot and this is where we're at. And nothing really came through. So we're done filming. And all of a sudden I remember everyone saying, okay, are we done? I think Christian Vera, she's actually now the host of Right This Minute. She's actually a true skeptic. And I've known Christian for many years. Romero's an investigator, so
she's still a skeptic after all this.
I would say maybe loosely, but wow. I think that kind of gave her more validation. But we talked about poltergeist activity. Like I mentioned, three knocks, three scratches. I actually got scratched by some sort of entity. And then you actually see the marks on the back of my neck that broke my skin and everything. And within another scene, you'll see how bad it got within maybe a minute after the scratch happened.
Oh no, let's go to that clip, Jaki.
Dude, something just scratched me.
Really?
No, seriously.
No way.
Feel my heart. Oh
my gosh, just put your head down a little bit, AJ. Just a little bit.
I love baby Troy.
No freaking way.
You okay, AJ? Need some fresh air?
What there's actually
look, there's
blood
more
exposed.
Coming out. Yeah, go down. Look down. There? There are more appearing, dude.
Dude, feel my chest. My.
Where what were you doing? Were you walking down the hallway?
No, I was just standing right here.
Oh my god, AJ, your heart is racing.
I'm shaking.
Look down, bro. Look down so we can show the camera crew. Look. Holy
there is
separate scratches. Yeah, look at that.
Like it totally broke your skin,
dude,
AJ.
You're shaking, bro. Just get out of the building, yeah?
I think one thing that I learned from Linda Vista, don't invoke them, don't call them. In some sense, you get what you get. I honestly felt like as if my chain that I'm wearing got caught on my hair. Sometimes it does that, you know, and figure I don't have much hair back there. I shave my head and figure, oh, it was just anything. And then I felt like a stinging right afterwards. And then I walked back and thought I caught on something, like something, you know, and it's a feeling of I told Ramiro, did something catch? I think it's my chain. And he goes, I don't know if I'm bleeding, but he said there's wilds there. There's actually something pissed off up there. I mean, we are in the mental ward. I mean, there are 5150s in here. It's crazies in here. There are people that were stuck in here, put in here for the wrong reasons. And, you know, a lot of things that went wrong in here, maybe it was kind of payback. And I kept on insisting, you know, scratch us or do something or touch us. And I think in some sense it was like, here you go, you know? And that's the way I felt. So I think in reality, it's like you just got to be careful what you ask in the paranormal.
Yeah, you were really shaking, and I never seen you that way before.
No, my heart's still beating.
Can you just see the thing again? If it's still there.
And look at this. Look how bad it got within a minute or two.
Oh my goodness.
Oh no.
It was like two, maybe three welts.
And it goes so long too. Like it. Your scratch goes like,
yeah, it's more of like long nails or something. Like, honestly, like I don't have nails, and even Christian, she mentioned, she goes like, AJ bites his nails all the time, so we know like he couldn't have scratched himself, couldn't have done this, you know.
Right.
And it's so funny, that was a GMT that was speaking, the producer, and he, I mean, we actually got everyone out of the out of Linda Vista. Like, I think everyone was freaked out. I was freaked out. I couldn't even gather my words. Like, there was a scene me walking down the stairs. Like, I couldn't gather myself. And the reason someone asked a question on here, something along the lines like, do you think attacked you because you're a religious, or maybe you're not, or this? And I was wearing a cross. I always wear a cross. Like, I always have either in underneath my shirt or on me or either in my pocket or something, you know, even when I do investigations or any of that nature, because I ground myself, protect myself with a white light and good intention. But like I mentioned earlier, I was provoking. I was asking, said, come do this, come do that, come do that. And what did I attract? I attracted an entity, some sort of negative energy. So
you did it to yourself, is what you did.
Yeah, exactly. You bring it upon yourself. Be careful what you wish for in the paranormal. You know, and that's the truth. You know, I joke around, like Angela was saying, like, oh my God, Cholo AJ, you know, but, you know, I was joking around with her, you know, saying like, hey, you know, that my ghost hunter name was actually Spooky. That was my ghost hunter name. So that was my Cholo name. So,
Yeah, you look like a baby Cholo, Spooky.
Right.
Like, you have your Cholo face, but also, like, super sweet still.
Right. Oh, my God.
Oh,
but, I mean,
my God.
There's been some bizarre moments. And, you know, I tell people, like, you know, when we do these investigations, like, you know, you have that fear. You mentioned that you have fear of driving by a place, you get freaked out, or you get maybe the chills or a bad feeling or whatever it is. You're tapping into something that doesn't resonate with your energy, doesn't resonate with your belief, or, you know, like it's, there's not going to be a good juju that's in there. And this is why I recommend people to ground yourself or protect yourself. And someone asked earlier about grounding, like, how do you ground yourself? Simple way, prayer and meditation. If you believe in God, Jesus, Allah, whatever your Buddha, whatever your belief is, pray to that. recite the Our Father, you know, Hail Mary, whatever you need to do, the sign of the cross, you know, I really believe that. But also ground yourself with energy, protect yourself with white energy or like a brick wall or a mirror, because I always tell people sometimes when you imagine a brick wall or a mirror, you know, a mirror reflects right back to whatever's in front of you. A brick wall is very solid. So I used to tell people, like, protect yourself in a white bubble, but I realized that over the years that bubbles are very delicate. They can be broken very easily by other energies and other things. So ground yourself with white light and white energy. And maybe perhaps if you are into crystals or you know, sage or religious artifacts, carry those with you as well.
Okay. When you're ghost hunting, there's different tools that you guys use. Could you tell us different, like the EVP, the like what are the different things that you guys use and what they do?
Yeah, so absolutely. So EVP is basically just, actually this is a recorder I've been using for years, just a simple digital recorder. You know, I just use a recorder, I play the audio for several hours and just let it record. And then I go back and listen to it. So EVPs are basically stands for electronic voice phenomenon. It's where spirit speaks to the white noise. And when that happens, you can't usually hear it with the naked ear, so which is why we record, because you play back the audio in a room that's quiet, and you may actually hear spirit speaking to that. When we talk about maybe a disembodied voice, it's actually a voice or spirit energy that you hear with the naked ear, like you hear it out loud. So that's a disembodied voice. And there's like class A, class B, class C EVP. So depending on how clear that audio is, it has a grade basically for it, as like it's a good quality. But when spirit speaks to that white noise, they're intelligent. Some of the EVPs, majority of the EVPs that I have are usually responding back to a question that I have, like, what is your name, or how did you pass, or, you know, what year are you from? And there's an intelligent response. So we know certain spirit activity is actually intelligent, and it's not a haunting. It's just an energy that's there in a home, a place, or business. One of my favorite places that I love to go to is the Queen Mary to investigate. I mean, it's like Disneyland for me, to be quite honest. I can spend hours and hours there investigating, but that's one thing that we use. We also use ITC, which stands for Instrumental Transcommunication. It's basically called a spirit box, and it basically scans through about 13 different frequencies within several seconds, and it goes through different radio stations. And what we're listening to is not so much the radio stations, we're listening to the white noise of the words that are coming through. So if we know that we're asking for an intelligent response, like say, okay, we're in Angela's home, okay, is there anyone here? And all of a sudden you hear like Mark Twain or something, like you hear a name, like the full name, same voice. Mm-hmm. We know it's not coming from several different frequencies, it's actually coming from the spirit vibration or the frequencies that it's tapping into. So spirit uses energy. We're all made up of energy. So they'll use anything from iPhones, iPads, computers, anything electrical, your lights, to, you know, get energy and charge themselves. So when people see apparitions, they think it's, oh my God, there's a black apparition. It's an evil. It's something demonic. It's something of that nature. Mm-hmm. It's not. It's more so your own loved ones, your guides working with you.
Wow.
Those are two major devices that we work with. And then there's also, like, you know, MEL meters that we work with, are basically device gadgets that picks up energy, and K2 meters. And, you know, there's so many different names that they have for them, but all of them are really relating to energy. That's not basically a human form, that it picks it up from basically different frequencies. So when you see things light up and things that happen, it's for us, we know, like, okay, is it a camera that's setting it off? Is it this or that? So we always try to debunk it and to make sure that it is whatever that's coming. Yeah.
Because like you said, you're not trying to like prove like, oh, see, it's real. Like, you're just investigating. Okay,
oh,
we have one of your EVP recordings.
Yes.
Jaki, why don't you go ahead and bring that up? Now, this is from the Queen Mary in Long Beach, right?
Queen Mary in Long Beach, California. This is actually in the isolation ward. So we're investigating.
What is the isolation ward?
It was basically where it's where they put people that were sick and ill, and they would put them in beds. Basically, it was kind of like a hospital room and whatnot. So they had many people that were there, but there's a lot of energy that was there that we picked up there. And I think for that file, let me see if I even have the file that's on here. Let me see. Did they find it? Did they need it here? I think the file is actually a number. I put it on here.
Want you to make your presence known now, please. Hello, what was that?
So that is a little boy speaking, and he actually has an accent, and he's saying, I'm only seven. So we asked a question, And that's actually a spirit energy, what we call a residual energy, a haunting energy that is there. So when we asked a question and it came back with the intelligent response back, fully of a little boy, I'm only seven. It still gives me chills to this day to know that they're stuck there and they need help. And all we can do is that we can say, oh, we're going to transition to the white light. We're going to help them go there. It may only be temporary, but that's their place of living. That's where they remember. They're a ghost. They're an energy that is stuck there that's replaying something. Or two, it's a spirit energy that's just popping in. But most of the energies there are truly ghosts. They're kind of stuck there replaying something, or they died tragically. So I've captured, hundreds of EVPs over the years at Queen Mary and all different locations. So I think when we look at things differently and realize, again, there's something more out there and not to fear the unknown, most of these energies are just looking for a connection, someone to speak with or getting help or want to be validated in some ways. Because obviously as human beings, we all want to be validated. We all want to be acknowledged. Yeah. You can imagine what they feel like when they're trying to get people's attention. And when they do, it's almost like excitement for them. And they will continue to bridge that communication with the living.
Wow. Let's play it one more time, Jaquie. Let's just hear it one more time. This little boy says, I'm only seven. Everybody take a listen.
Wanting to make your presence known now, please. Hello, what was that?
He sounds so sad.
Yeah. Well, you know, I think the isolation ward was a place where they put a lot of people that were sick and they put a lot of people that weren't right in health and whatnot in that area. And even when we went to investigate that, the isolation ward actually had nothing but, I think, plexiglass and or glass on it. So there's no way we actually can actually go into the rooms, but we're in basically a little hallway or a T hallway that we're in there. And we investigated and all the old beds are still in there and the decor and all that stuff. So again, there's something that they're attracted to, that they're connected to, which are the beds that draws the energy into that vibration where we're able to bridge that connection with the spirit world.
Wow. That is incredible. I feel like I'm so intrigued by all of this and entertained by all of the stories. And again, coming from a Christian background, feeling like almost like I've been deprived from learning all of this information because it's bad. So just don't look, don't even ask questions, you know? And now I'm like soaking up all of this like information because I want to hear other people's perspective on life and death, on spirits, on the spirit realm, on all of these things, because I already know what the Bible says. I already know what Christianity says. I already know that side of it. I would love to see the other side, like somebody else tell me your point of view. I would love to like hear and learn and listen because the spirit realm is real. Certain people believe, certain people don't. Some people are like, ghosts are not real. Some people are skeptics and some people like I fully believe the spirit realm is real. And we only really like understand for our own capacity, like what we have the capability of understanding and experiencing. Not everybody has the intuition that you have, has the gift that you have, but we can learn from what you see and hear and feel. And I would love to learn that. And so that's why I'm so grateful for you coming on to my little show with all its technical difficulties.
Right.
I'm so grateful for you being here and sharing your wisdom and your experience and your stories, you know, like it's really incredible. And before we wrap it up, if you guys have any last minute questions that you want to ask AJ, put it in the comments right now. If you have any question you want to ask, but I would like to know, do you have a favorite reading or a favorite like ghost hunting situation that you just, it's like your favorite story?
Yeah, you know, readings, I have many of them, so it's hard to pick. I think anytime I deal with, you know, say dead celebrities or living celebrities, like I'm always in shock that when I have a client that sits with me and I have like, say, Lucille Ball or Elvis or Marilyn Monroe, which all came through in readings because there was a personal connection. So anytime I deal with dead celebrities, it's amazing. I just did a reading for an individual that was, I'm not going to say their name or how they're connected, but basically it was Prince's, they were in Prince's camp basically. And they were very close with Prince and Prince came through. I had no idea it was Prince and I was giving names. you know, names and dates. I even gave them like all this stuff, and they were blown away. But here's the thing: is that when those readings come through, it's a healing experience. So anytime I deal with parents and kids living and passed over, it's the connection. It's that aha moment that I see that's amazing for them. And for me, I think anytime I can bring up evidence like names, dates, birthdays, it brings me not satisfaction, but brings me to a point where I'm knowing like I'm doing the right thing, I'm doing the right path, and I'm bringing up this awareness. Because you mentioned something very beautiful, like this, I don't really like to say like it's just a gift. It's an ability that we all have, though, and it's something that we all can develop. So we all can learn to do this. But the readings itself, there's a lot of soul lessons, is what I call them, and learning lessons I walk away from, and the client walks away from. I remember doing probably more of a recent reading, or maybe last year, since probably right before everything ended here, probably in March, February, March, I was doing a live event at a hotel, and a son was coming through. He was talking about like how he had like brain cancer and how he had this giving his name. And I was talking about, hey, there's like a huge monument or plaque that he's talking about. And she goes, we actually just put a plaque together in honor of him in a park. And so I started bringing the messages. I'm saying like, I don't know why he's showing me like the YouTube logo, like the play button. And he goes, oh, he loved YouTube, but more importantly, he loved video games. He was always playing video games and doing this and doing that. And finally, towards the end of the reading, I was finishing up and I said, like, I don't know why he's saying this, but he's telling me to say like some weird emoji tattoo or emoji thing that we need to bring up here. And she actually got a tattoo in honor of her son, which was his favorite game character that she had on her chest, which she kind of pulled down her shirt on camera and kind of said, like, well, here it is. So stuff like that is stuff that I wouldn't know about. And people think like, oh, we plant them, I research them, my team researches them, they can say anything and anything they want, but I always believe like I'm doing it from a right place and a right place of mind. But, you know, even with Ouija boards, you know, Ouija boards are a little taboo and all that stuff, but, you know, it's just about really knowing what you're getting yourself into. But I have so many readings, Andrew, like so many different readings and so many different experiences. It's hard to pick and choose which is the best. I do want to, can I ask you something though for you or Jackie? I don't know who it's for, but it's been bugging me since I heard your guys' voice, and I don't know if it's either for her or for you. Do you mind, or does she mind?
Yeah, tell us.
Here's the thing. I actually have a woman that has been coming through, like has been like bugging me, and like what I do, like I would show you this, but I do a lot of like free association writing, which is automatic writing. So when I'm doing this work, I kind of like channel information, but I just feel like as if there was an energy coming through that I feel like it was more of a grandmother figure. But more importantly, I feel like that I need to acknowledge like either like say, like Millie or Maxie or Maxima, like there's like a name that we need to acknowledge.
That we've had so many questions in here. I wish I could like read them all, but they're going so fast. You are incredible. You are such a gift. I'm so grateful for you coming on my show, and I would love to have you on again. I would love, like, there's so many more questions on here that I didn't like.
It goes by too quick, right?
I know. It goes way too quick, but I would love to have you on again, and I'm just so grateful for you, and thank you for your time. Thank you for being here. And tell everybody, before we sign out, tell everybody where they can find you. I've seen a couple comments like, where can we schedule a reading with you? Where can we follow you? All that. So give everybody the information.
Yeah, absolutely. You can find all my online events, upcoming events, readings, and all that stuff at ajbarrera.com. That's my name, ajbarrera.com. All the readings are virtual, obviously due to COVID, but most of my readings are done virtually, so there's not any difference. So FaceTime, Zoom, all that other stuff that we've done. There's also upcoming events that we're putting out, I think, in the next few days. So they're basically like group readings. They're pocket friendly. So we do all that stuff as well. So you can find me on Instagram at AJ_Barrera. But yeah, you find everything on my website, to be quite honest, just AJBarrera.com.
That's amazing. And then where can they watch your show that is now streaming on a new network?
Yeah, which is super cool. It's been years, I mean, to finally hear about it like a couple weeks ago.
If they want to see Cholo AJ, where can they find Cholo AJ at?
You find Cholo AJ on Canela TV. They can find it on the website. You can watch it straight off the website, or if you have Apple TV, Amazon Fire, just download the Canela app, whatever, and you can watch all 13 episodes that are out there and all the investigations and what the work kind of showed in that. So, yeah.
That's amazing. And then I actually saw a few comments from people that were like, hey, Angela, your guy spelled your last name wrong. Actually, that was me. I spelled my own name wrong.
Oh.
Because when I was signing in, I have to type my name, and I typed it so fast. And it wasn't until I read a comment that I was like, I didn't spell my name wrong. And I looked at it, I go, oh, I did spell my name.
Hey, I do the same thing. I either put too many R's or too many E's in my name. So I'm like,
I was like, oh, shoot, but they're blaming Ryan for this one. Sorry, Ryan, you spelled my name wrong. That was me, you guys. My bad, everybody.
Oh, my gosh.
AJ, thank you so much. You're amazing. Sending you so much love. And I appreciate you. And I hope to have you on here again.
Oh, absolutely. I would love to. And I love having you, you know, be here and be this platform to make this all happen and sharing not only your stories, but also, you know, allowing people like myself to share wisdom and share stories and have a good time with it where it's not always taboo. So thank you again, Angela, for making this happen and having me. I'd definitely love to come back.
Thank you. Thank you so much. We'll see you soon.
All right. Bye.
Bye, AJ. You guys are amazing for sticking with us. Chiki, yeah, thank you. You guys, thank you so much for joining us and sticking with us with the technical difficulties up at the top of the show. I don't know what was going on, but we got it figured out. Thank you to Chiki and Ryan for figuring that out for us. Wasn't AJ amazing? You guys, just drop some hearts in the comment section. Let him know that you really appreciated him being on the show and sharing his wisdom and his stories. If you guys have a ghost story, if you have any kind of like spiritual encounter story that you would like to share on this show, go to my website, www.angela.com/ghost stories, and you can submit your story there. And when we come back in 2021, I will be picking you guys to come on to the show with me and share your experience with me and with all of the viewers. Thank you so much. This is our last episode of the year. Happy holidays to everyone. I know it's been the most insane year of all of our lives. And I know that the holidays can be hard for some people because a death of a loved one, because many reasons. I know the holidays can be hard. So for those of you that are watching right now and the holidays are a hard time for you, I am praying for you, and I ask that God would just bless you, bless your heart with comfort, with peace, with light and love. And I just thank you. Thank you, God, so much for blessing every single person who's watching this right now. Bless their holidays, bless their Christmas, bless their New Year. And we just pray for 2021 to come in and just give us the peace and love that we need. And I'm grateful for all of you watching this and coming on this journey with me, Ghost Stories with Angela. Thank you so much. You can follow me on Instagram, Facebook, all of that kind of stuff. Some of you are already tuning in from my Facebook. Thank you so much. Subscribe to my YouTube channel and ring the bell to get the alerts when I post a new video. And I thank you so much for joining me, you guys. Have a happy holidays. Sending you all love. Bye.